morning, Mark.
Good morning, Justin. How are you today?
I am well. I just had a really good conversation with a friend of mine.
Good for you.
It was Mark. Mark is my friend.
Yes, and we are continuing.
That's right.
The conversation. Not the same conversation, but yes.
No, but ironically, we're going to talk about listening.
Yes.
Which is what you're doing right now, and we're so thankful.
Yes.
Aren't we, Mark?
We are thankful.
We're thankful that you're listening.
Yes.
And if you're not, then you should get on it.
There you go. There you go. And I think so much of that is even what we do, even between us. It's not just about who's on the other side. I think when we desire to connect with people and convey how I see it, listening is so important.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to exchange roles between listener and speaker.
Yeah.
That's a talent.
It is.
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. I think about I listen to our episodes. I have to for editing or whatever, and I enjoy it. It's one of my favorite podcasts I listen to. So.
Oh.
No, I really do enjoy it, and mostly I enjoy Mark's side of things, because when I hear myself sometimes, it's like the eyes start rolling, you know. That's all right. But one thing I noticed, and then Megan said it, because she's listened, you know, to a bunch of them too, and it's like, you guys say a lot. Like responding to each other. And I was like, yeah, I noticed that too. And it gets, I shouldn't even tell you, because now you're going to hear it. Everyone's going to hear it. Don't do it, Mark. Don't say it.
We hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not always, it's sometimes, yeah.
Well, the point is, what's happening is that we're listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to Mark and I'm going, that's good. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, because I really truly enjoy what you have to say and the listening aspect, and that is compulsory, you know what I mean? But it is funny to just listen back on it and be like, are they just, I don't know, it almost sounds like a little too, I don't know what it is, it just gets annoying. I guess
really. Yeah. Okay. I hadn't heard it from that perspective. I'll probably have a change in my thoughts, but I do recognize that I'm not a fast thinker. I'll be the first to admit.
I can't help it. It's going to happen, Mark.
What's going to happen?
My,
Oh, that's okay. But I recognized it, you know, in the process. And I appreciate the fact that you warned people right at the very beginning. Like, listen to this at 1.5. Listen to this to 2 times. Whatever you need to. You know, because we sound smarter or something, I think is what you said.
That's right.
You know. But at the same time, I can admit, I don't think fast. And sometimes, in this context, I am still pondering what you're saying if I'm truly listening. And I think that's what I can admire people who have a talent to be able to hear something, process it, and communicate it in a efficient manner. Because sometimes I'm still looking for the correct word and in response to new information. But I think that's also a part of listening. And I think, you know, in our culture, in a soundbite culture with media and, you know, and editing, everything can sound so concise and fast, and you know, it's like, we don't even think about it. But I think there is something to be said for the aspect of a pace or a slowness that needs to be had to truly listen versus just repeating what I'm thinking
Yeah.
Because I've already been thinking, and I'm really just holding on to my thought until I get an opportunity to say my thought after your thought. Mm-hmm. Versus the real aspect of listening, saying, "Nope, my thoughts have been checked for the last 30 seconds while I'm hearing and I'm listening to processing what you're really saying before I respond."
Yeah. By the way, I was thinking about my response while you were... I think that's part of the... I'm going to excuse my behavior because I think that's part of podcasts, right? It's like, don't allow there to be dead air. So it's like, okay, all right, let me fill in. All right, go!
Exactly, yeah. Dead air. So what were you thinking?
I was just thinking about how you used the term active listening before we started recording, and listening actively is an active effort. Like listening is an effort because our natural desire is to be answering, right? Like our natural inclination.
You think our natural desire, God given?
Oh, I don't know. I think I think our natural inclination is to be responding to what's being said, you know, versus like trying to process what they're saying. It's okay. Let me give you back my thoughts. I mean, it's very
okay,
right?
So most of us, if what I'm hearing there is, most of us are uncomfortable with silence.
Yes, that's not quite where I was going. Where I was going is more of most of us are just processing the world through our vision, and so when we hear something, we naturally want to say, well, here's how I see it, you know, right? Okay. And so it's, but often what that means is that comes at the expense of truly listening, because we're not listening. We're just re-saying what we just said, you know, in response to what they said or whatever. And there's also an aspect to truly listening where you have to, when we're talking about listening, we're not just talking about the typical kind of conversation. We're talking about listening to understand, right?
Sure.
I think. And it's this idea that I have to stop my thoughts and hear yours, which is what you were just saying, which, again, takes effort to stop my thoughts just to hear yours. And I think
it's conscious.
For me, a big part of a good listening experience on my end is to, you said when they stop talking for there to be silence. I think that's an acceptable thing. For me, I think a big part of it is being able to say, okay, let me say what you said. Let me see if I understand what you said and repeat it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good way to practice better listening.
Sure.
Is to hear what someone said and then try and repeat it back to them and say, do I have that right? And they might correct you and they might say, well, I didn't mean that, you know, right. And like that just happened, right? Like, yeah, I said, our natural response, you know, inclination is to respond. And you said, well, you mean our God given whatever. And I said, no, I don't think you are listening. You repeated what you thought I was saying, you know.
Is this what I heard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the value of truly listening is the difference between staying in my position or growing and learning and moving, right? Mm. And that's a big part of what this podcast is about, is polarization and, well, you're a Democrat, I'm a Republican, and there's nothing you can say that's going to change my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, this is this, and this is this, and this is black and white, right? Mm-hmm. Where truly listening, I think that's a big motive for our podcast, is to say that perspective has value.
Sure.
But you will never glean that value if your only intention is response or convince or prove that you're right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It requires a setting down of myself and just an embracing and listening and taking in and hearing it without propping up judgment. You know what I mean?
So as you think about that, I'm thinking about, you know, what are some obstacles that we face when it comes to really listening. I hear the polarization, but I'm thinking about it in a context of, you know, family dynamics. You know, what leads to that point where we just shut someone out because we don't want to hear it? And I respect the fact that hearing something is different than listening to someone. But I guess I'm thinking about it from a, how do, speaking to someone, you know, who is in the midst of a circumstance and they're saying, you know what, I don't really want to listen. I don't want to do that.
Well, I feel like you just hit the nail on the head when you said, I don't want to hear it.
Sure.
Because what that implies is that I already know what you're going to say. Right?
Yeah.
And it's not applicable.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not important to me.
Right.
Or it doesn't...
Yeah.
It's so it gets to a point where the frustration over a lack of change, because we've had this conversation before, and I know exactly what you're going to say, so there's no use entering the discussion anymore. I think we can get to that point.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Easily.
Yeah.
Quickly.
And not every statement is worth listening to. That doesn't mean you shouldn't. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of your catchphrases is I hear you, right?
Yep.
And I think that's kind of this valuable perspective that I think culturally we often miss, which is it's important to still listen. Even if during the course of listening, you're like, maybe I don't agree with that. But that's okay. Keep going.
Sure.
Right? And giving that space. And I think that comes from a big part of the therapeutic background, right? Like,
probably.
You have to listen. That's your job.
Right.
But to be able to give space for the communication, to learn from, to hear what they're saying, you know, and then to be able to process it and go, I hear you. Which is your way of saying, I'm not sure I'm 100% on board, but you're also not saying, you know, responding with, here's my thing.
Right.
You're just saying, I hear you, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that catchphrase in some ways is a good way to be. Again, to practice listening.
Understood.
So next time you're having trouble listening, try on a Markism. I hear you. And then stop talking.
Yeah. And I think that is the ability to be able to say, yes, I want to hear still more, because I may not have a full, my opinion isn't necessarily developed at this point. And I think that's a positive dynamic when it comes to listening as well, to where we can basically say, okay, I'm open to your opinion, as we've talked about it, you know, before, having a open-minded viewpoint. I think that's helpful where our listening is concerned. And so if we're coming away from Markisms, what keeps Justin from being able to listen at times? How in that balance, if you will?
I think the simplest answer to that is just pride and thinking that I have the answers, right? Or and so for me, it's just an ongoing battle and or effort to say, maybe you don't know it all, whatever. Like, maybe there's something here that's worth hearing. And there always is, Mark. I'm not as smart as I think I am, right? So I think for me, and my natural inclination is to be very bad at listening. I will also say I've worked very hard at being good at listening. Okay. So there's a dichotomy there. Like, there are sometimes I'm really bad and I fail, and there are other times that I'm doing what I practiced and I'm good at it. You know, I would say because I put the effort in. Celebrate Recovery is a big part of that, because there are certain relationships that are kind of, I guess, mandated through the process, and sponsor-sponsee relationships. a sponsor's not meant to be talking the ear off. They're meant to be a listener. And that's a core value of being a good sponsor, is listening. And so I've had to practice that. And what I can tell you is I started out very badly. And burnt some bridges because of it. And burnt some relationships because... in a Celebrate Recovery, we say we're not here to fix you. Well, I was fixing.
I got you.
You know what I mean? And I've learned that for me, the best way to not fix is to listen. Because when I can listen and I shut up and I stop the voices and say, oh, I got just the thing for you. And I listen, I'm able to go, oh, oh, yeah, that's, wow, that's really hard, actually. I didn't really think about that until you said that.
Sure.
And when you said that, it all started to click for me why that's so hard for you. And I was going to say this, and I just don't think it's that simple. And I've I've had that that exact conversation so many times.
Sure.
And it, the non-practice Justin would have just said the thing. And it would have been trite and useless to them. And next conversation would have been like, I don't want to hear that. Right?
Sure.
That same kind of thing of like, you've said that before. It's not helpful.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I think part of it is practice. Part of it is learning through failing. And because here's the thing. If you don't listen, you're not going to have good relationships.
No doubt.
I think that's a core piece to having good relationships is having the ability to listen. What do you think?
And I'm thinking even as I'm listening, you know, you describe that dynamic of fixing. And I think so much of the listening is the difference between me knowing or you knowing me versus me knowing you. And when I am listening, that conveys my desire to know you versus you knowing what I know. When I'm talking, you know, that's what I know. But I think when we're able to sit back and listen, like you're describing, it's a desire to know. And I think it is arrogance on our part when we shorten that moment of listening to 5-10 minutes. And we got it all figured out. You follow me? Because some of this stuff is days and weeks and, you know, lifetimes of communication to be able to know someone to the to the depth of good relationship.
And I dare say that length of time to understanding is much is directly proportional to how similar or dissimilar you are to somebody. So let me explain.
No, I hear you.
If I'm going to talk to, I don't know, let's say a lesbian black woman.
Okay.
Who grew up in the Bronx.
Sure.
Her way of life and culture and everything is so completely different from me. That it's going to take me, should take me a long time of listening. Right? Of like, I want to understand before I speak to it, right? Whatever the thing is, right? Like, I don't know why we're in the same room talking. I don't know what the thing is, but the point is that time is directly proportional to how similar or dissimilar I am to someone. I think what happens, though, is the less similar we are, the more we think we have them summarized.
Sure.
Because we know that trope. You're that. And we just short-circuit the learning and the listening. Or can. Like, I think it's a tendency, right? Especially if we're not in the room with the person having a real conversation. It's easy to say, oh, I know that person. You know? And I don't... Yeah.
Or the fact that we know characteristics about that person, you know? Female, black, Bronx, whatever, you know, we have the trappings of our own thoughts, stereotypes, if you will, that go along with all of those.
Right.
You know, and we have to be able to sit back and say, okay, that's not that person. This person is right here, right now, And in order for me to know them, I have to be able to just listen. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's a practice, as you're saying. It's a learning mm-hmm. that comes with time to be able to do it well. And I do think at times, you know, our discomfort mm-hmm. with difference, with silence, with that process does impact our ability to do it well. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember early on, even when Chris and I were married, you know, it's like, I came from a family that talked a lot, you know, and there was multiple conversations, you know, no one was listening, you know, very little listening, I should say. Most people were talking. And, you know, through being married to Chris, I've learned to do it better, as you describe, you know, that ability to say, you know, okay. And I forget whether it was our previous conversation or I just said it in this conversation.
I'll let you know. Yeah, you
know, but we were talking about how, I lost it. But either way, I was thinking about family dynamics and how, you know, I learned from Chris and her ability, but the conversation would move on before Chris was able to be felt comfortable in the situation because everybody was talking and there was no time allowed for response. And it wasn't until later on, it's like, you know, it takes the average individual up to 7 seconds to actually formulate at times a response. And I was thinking about it in that context. Sometimes we're just so uncomfortable with the silence that we can't necessarily sit with someone that long to be able to allow them to process. But that's what some people need mm-hmm. in order to even engage mm-hmm. a process. And I think, you know, that's a good awareness that I gained from Chris, is to the point of being able to say, okay, she's not ignoring me, she's not being stubborn, she's just honestly giving me her best, and she's willing to take time to formulate that so that I know that. And you know, I still had lost the part of it that I was going to say about my family dynamic, but the three conversations at once, it took me a long time because to get to that point where I was able to actually zone in on one conversation versus maintaining the ability to hear three different conversations at the same time.
Yeah.
And that was something that I had to relearn the way I grew up.
See, that when I'm terrible at multitasking. And so I can't do that.
I can't anymore. Yeah. I don't desire.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say,
I don't see that. From what I know of Mark, that's not the Mark I know, but it's right. Interesting to hear that.
But there was multiple. I can still just remember it. I mean, you know, when my you know, family gets together, there's still, yeah. I mean, you know, in a family dynamic, yeah, there's nothing against them. I'm just saying, you know, there's multiple conversations going on. And yeah, it was just an interesting way to grow up in that inability to actually listen for me, how it was kind of modeled. But then, you know, over time, of course, you know, you say, okay, this is impacting my relationship with you and my ability to really know what's going on in your life versus that desire to know what's going on with everyone else out there. And I think, you know, there's a lot of things that create obstacles to our ability to listen well when we're trying to do too many other things. Yeah. We're having too many other thoughts, too many other influences. And I think, you know, the active listening is definitely...
Right. It's saying this is my front and center activity.
Yes.
Is the listening.
This is my focus.
These three. Yeah. That's good.
And my desire to know what's really going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm letting there be silence for me.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
Is it uncomfortable?
It is. I am one of those people that finds silence a little bit awkward, so I'll just... You said it takes 6 to 7 seconds, you know, to formulate a response. Usually I'll start talking and let that 6 to 7 seconds work its way out while I'm talking. So that's another way people do it. Sometimes people, I think you were saying, like, Chris will process without talking. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll process as we're talking. And I think if you're not good at listening, it's easy to tune someone like that out. Mm. Like, because, okay, it's 6 to 7. Okay, you've had your time.
Yep.
You got nothing to say.
And this is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And they're just getting to the thing, their actual response.
Right. And you're actually shutting that person down.
Yeah.
Because you really don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Or you want to, I shouldn't say it like that. Your own discomfort is causing you to speak again before you're able to actually listen to someone's response.
Yeah. I think discomfort is a motive. I really think the primary motive is just that I really do think what I have to say is that important, is that good. Mm. And by I mean most people. I do. I think it's just our natural inclination to think, what you're saying is good, but just wait till you hear this.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's who we are, most of us, you know? Huh. And listening, most of what we're talking about right now is selling the benefit to us as the listener. Like that, I think that's the thing that we miss, is the benefits gained from truly listening. And I think some of the benefits from a receiving end of that, the benefits you're granting are maybe more obvious, right? Like you're showing someone that you care or whatever, but I don't think it should be understated. I think the benefits that you're granting by truly listening are so valuable. It is the difference between an acquaintance and a friend, right? Mm. To be able to grant that opportunity. It's the difference between someone acknowledging you as someone that they trust and confide in and think of you as one of their people or not, you know? Mm-hmm. And in some cases, you can use that to your benefit. Right? Yeah. Like maybe you don't want to be in there, be that person for them and say, no, I don't know. That's a stretch to say, don't listen if you don't want to be their friend or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I mean, I did just say that. I don't really mean that. I guess I'm just saying the best way to improve any relationship is to truly listen. And that includes relationships with people you don't like, you don't care for, you don't think like they're in a demographic you don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I do. And I'm thinking about the best way, as you describe it. How do you personally initiate that? How do you that opportunity? I mean, I understand we have coworkers, you know, people we come in contact with on a routine basis, you know, but I'm thinking about, you know, family dynamics, people that I haven't talked with in a while, you know, not talked with, but, you know, if I'm not talking with them, I'm not having the opportunity to listen to them. And I'm thinking about it. How do you go about initiating that interaction that says, I want to get to know you? Does that make sense?
Yes.
In that context?
Yeah. A big part of my thing is simply age. Mm. Kind of the experience that comes with age, where I want to say for all of my 20s, I wasn't doing that. I was looking for anyone to listen, you know, because I had all the good stuff to say, you know, and...
You had an abundance.
Yes.
To share.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And I really thought it was just about opportunity. Like, as long as I had the opportunity, then people would listen. It would be, you know. And I would say there was a great transition.
Mm. When you were saying people would listen.
Yes.
Yes.
There was a transition. I'm going to call this early mid-30s.
Okay.
Where I started to, my perception improved.
Mm.
To where I said, oh, people aren't listening. Even when I have opportunity, because I thought it was just a lack of opportunity. I'm just 20-something. No one wants to listen to me, so I don't have the right opportunities, right?
Sure.
Once I started gaining those opportunities, recognize, oh, actually, people don't want to hear what I have to say, because we're all in the same boat. We all want everyone else to hear what we have to say. And I start to be able to, I guess, perceive as you have a conversation that that person's not really listening. They're waiting to answer, right?
Sure.
That transition got me to a point where I was like, well, what's the point of anything, right? But that wasn't the end. The next thing of my learning was going, oh, let's give that person what they want. Like, there's an opportunity here to encourage that person and, like, actually listen to what they're saying. Oh, cool. So you rebuilt that engine. Wow. You know, like, oh, big tires. Cool. You know, whatever the thing is. Yeah. Like, tell me more. Where do you get those tires? Like, what made you decide that you liked working on cars in the first place? And, oh, wow, that's cool. You had that relationship with your father. And, you know, like, you can go from... You know, you ever heard of the Me Monster?
No, but I, yeah.
Google, I get the idea. Me Monster. I think it's Me Monster. Brian Regan. Just go Google it right now. You can pause us. It's worth your time. It's hilarious. Anyway, you go from this escalating Me Monster battle, right? Like, oh, you know, to saying, oh, tell me more about that. And it can completely convert a conversation from a one-upmanship into an actual real conversation about real stuff. And I found that that was really fun.
Sure.
Does that make sense? Yes, it's like, indeed. I get to know this person and I don't have to do that stupid battle that I hate because, I don't know, you know, it's like, yeah, who likes that anyway?
Yeah.
I think maybe there's 10% of people who are just that, right? Like, they like that. They like to just one-up. It just makes them feel good. I think the rest of us, when we do that, we feel gross. And it's like, why am I doing this? And we, you know.
Yeah. No, it's interesting that you, I'm still even thinking now, after you sharing there. I think everybody has a desire to be heard. But I'm still wrestling with everybody having a desire to say or speak.
That's fair. I guess that this is coming very much coming from a how I see it because that's how I am and was and always will. You know, so yeah.
You're saying you think most people, have a desire to say, you know, or share. It's like I'm not sure that I agree with that. When I think about our wives, even to a certain degree,
agreed. Yeah, you know, that's
and that might be the reason they married us. I don't know. One of them, no. But at the same time, thinking about still, I believe there is an innate desire in everyone to be heard.
Yeah,
and that's good. That implies the need for listening. You know, to where someone can actually feel known by me shutting my mouth. And just sitting for a moment and absorbing versus that talking.
Yeah, and the thing is too, like you said, everyone has the desire to be heard, which means there are opportunities for wholesome conversations with every single person because even those people who don't have a desire to say do have a desire to be heard. And so you can, a great way to practice listening is to find someone who's quiet and just ask them questions, right? Like practice listening and say, oh, well, where'd you learn that? You know, give them space to, you know, and of course some people, you know, just like, they're not there for it and you know, move on or whatever, but I think that's a great or, you know, in the case of the Me Monster, someone who really likes to talk, like give them that, just keep feeding them lines, see where the conversation goes and then see if you can veer it into a real place instead of how much money they have or how big their house is or what, you know what I mean, like transitioning into real things. Good ways to practice listening, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. Who is, when you think of who has listened to you well, what what is that character?
I will say Mark Pratt. Is no, a very
go. It goes. You can go someplace else, but that's I'm thinking of it from that context of what for you helps you recognize that someone is listening. What's been modeled for you?
I think the answer to that is maybe too complex to summarize mm-hmm. too easily, because I do think people exhibit listening differently.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, yeah.
Some people will engage, you know, look you right in the eyes and like nod mm-hmm. their head up and down. Others will look into the stars, you know, and mm-hmm. like it might not seem like they're listening, but they're truly processing. And I think what tells me somebody's listening is how they respond.
Yeah.
I think that part's simple, right? Mm. To say, let's see how they respond to what I just said. Okay, now I know they weren't listening and yeah. that they were simply looking to respond. And then it, in my experience, understanding what a conversation's going to be mm-hmm. is pretty easy to assess within the first two, you know, back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I understand now. This is going to be about your car. And, all right, let's do this. I can do this. That's fine.
Sure.
Now I know, you know.
Right.
Every once, you know, and then there are certain people where you'll hear from their response, oh, they want to know about mm-hmm. what I think about this. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes I'll enter those tentatively. Like, there's a little opening here, but it's not what I, 20-something... would have thought it was.
Mm.
It's like, oh, now you're going to get the Book of Wisdom, you know, or whatever. But it's an opportunity that I can see where it goes. And I think sometimes, too, there's been many times where there was that opening. I had this conversation. I had said a few things, and then it turned off. And you could see it visibly. You could see it whenever. And for me, those are good context clues to shut up and or reverse it or... sometimes it's just about time. Like you could see someone shift in their seat and it's, they might have to get to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. Does that, I forget what you even asked.
How do you know how it's been modeled?
How it's been modeled.
You know, people that have listened.
Again, I think responding in a way that says, I heard what you just said.
Yeah.
And a repetition of what was said or a rephrasing or a kind of a summary is always a great way to see it. I also think not cutting someone off
sure.
is the best way to say I'm listening.
Yeah.
Give them the room, you know?
Yeah.
Which I cut you off all the time.
It's all good. I was thinking about it even as, you know, as I think about people who have listened to me, you know, role models, that kind of thing. I think there was a sense that maybe leading the conversation isn't the right way, but yet there was a desire to know that allowed that person conveyed to me the desire to know. So it allowed me to speak in such a way that I knew I was leading the conversation.
Hmm.
You know, does that make sense in the context that I was able to say whatever I needed to say in that moment in response to their inquiry or whatever, and they would go with me there. Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
Help me understand that. What was that like? You follow me? And it in that moment, I'm actually they're conveying to me that you're leading this conversation. We're heading in the direction of me knowing you, and for that you have to be able to decide.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to decide that to whatever degree you want to decide that. If you want to go further and we get to know each other at a deep level, well, I'll ask deeper conversations. But if your response says, I'm not sure I want to share that with you, you know, it's not that they're, and if they're listening, they're able to say, okay, I apologize. I didn't mean to, it was just a desire to know you. And I apologize, you know, if that you're uncomfortable with that question. But at the same time, if they can say, yeah, my childhood, I can still, you know, hear my parents arguing, you know, that kind of thing. And you're able to say, wow, what was that like for you?
Hmm.
You know, 10 years old and you're, you know, in your bedroom just waiting for the, you know, things to hit the fan. And then they say, yeah, that was tough. You know, then I think that's how we can convey when we're not having to lead it, but we're actually following someone, then we're able to listen.
Hmm.
I think that's what's been modeled for me is, yeah, I want to hear. So at the same time, I'm going to actively listen, but that invites you to take ownership or actively speak in truth if you desire to be known.
Yeah.
Because I think knowing and being known can be reciprocal.
Yeah.
You know, and just because someone may not, and I think we can always listen, don't get me wrong, but I think there is a point where sometimes people are uncomfortable to what degree they want to be known.
Right.
And I think that's important for us to be aware of as well.
Which takes listening.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Hmm. So I really was not trying to blow smoke. If you get a chance to meet Mark and talk to him, you should. And just have a good conversation with him because he will listen to you. And he's very good at it. And so the reason I'm saying that is I would love to know how. Like, was this a natural inclination? Was this you know how sometimes you learn from the negative patterns in your family and you go the opposite? Was it that? Was there tools in your education for learning family counseling and therapy that you have adopted it to be, like, I would love to know your perspective on that.
I would say it's a combination of all three. Here again, I grew up, my families, they interacted. But yet there was something about my mom. I mean, she was a counselor before I was. Now, granted, in the whole scheme of things, I think she grew up in that same, I know she grew up in that same system that was uncomfortable with silence. But yeah, I can remember from early on people just showing up at the back door to sit down at the kitchen table with my mom and talk with her. I mean, you know, to this day, the back door is not going to be locked, you know, and people will just show up. No schedule, no, you know, you know, from my world, just to be able to do that. Now, some of that is just visiting. But I can remember countless people, you know, in the midst of going through a separation or, you know, some kind of transition. So even that, I would say, was modeled for me. You know, the ability to make time, I think, because that's an important part of listening.
I can't
listen to somebody in 5 minutes. We gotta go. You know,
if you see someone look at the clock.
Watch clock,
yeah. That's a pretty good sign.
Yeah. That we don't really have time for this.
Yeah.
You know, we're acquaintances and we're saying hi and that's what it's gonna be. But we're not gonna have an hour here to get to know what's going on with one another. So that was one aspect of it. The other aspect, of course, has been being married to Chris. She, when I married her, she was a far better listener than I was. Far better. And she's taught me a lot about what I need to do to be able to listen versus the way I did conversation. You know, there's a difference between doing conversation. I can do small chat, you know, that kind of thing. I grew up with that. I grew up with older people too. I was, you know, one of those kids that was just more comfortable with older people having, you know, older conversations. I didn't mind listening to the stories. I was intrigued by the stories. So even in some of that, it taught me, you know, it's like, hey, if you listen long enough, you're going to get some good stories, you know, from anybody, but, you know, definitely older people. So yeah, Chris was a big part of that. She taught me, you know, through our marital dynamic, you know, how to listen better. And then, of course, there is, you know, the therapeutic, you know, you can look it up, you know, the solar stuff, squaring off, open body position, you know, lean in. Whew, I haven't even done these in a long time, but, you know, I forget what A and R, responsive, or, you know, is R, I forget what A is. But either way, you know, there's techniques.
So can I ask a quick question?
Of course.
It sounds like there's a lot,
yeah,
of stuff. Would you say that listening is a significant chunk of the training for counseling? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
No doubt. No doubt.
I would imagine.
I would. Yeah, and I'm saying, even as I'm thinking about, you know, the techniques you're given, I think you can do all the techniques, quote unquote, wrong. You know, I don't necessarily believe you have to square off with somebody, you know, because some people are just going to be intimidated by that. If I have too much eye contact with some individuals, it's something you have to monitor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're too intense with your eye contact, it's intimidating.
It is. Yeah.
You follow me? Yeah. So I think, you know, it's getting to know that person. You know, or even, you know, open body position, you know, it's like, you know, there's a lot of people that just feel more comfortable. Yeah, if somebody's open with you, you're more likely to share. But yet, you know, there's a lot of people that sit with their arms crossed and their hand underneath their chin, and it's not a open body position, but I know they're listening to me because of the way the interaction is going. And I think that can be conveyed as well, to where there's techniques, you know, that we can learn. But I think, you know, as you shared, you know, so much more of it is, number one, listening, and number two, and this is, here again, this was probably more Chris, she's better at asking questions than I am.
I can verify. Chris is a great listener. I love chatting with her.
Sure.
It's like, you feel like, yeah, that's
she's
cool.
Right. Yeah. She's right there.
But you both, like, that's how I feel about you both. So well, I'm just
saying,
yeah, but yeah.
I can admit she's better at it than I am. And she has taught me a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that I happen to be the one with the degree, with the license.
Mm-hmm.
But like you say, that's probably one of my, you know, that's one of my passions, is being able to listen, you know, to people with Chris, because in my world, you know, there, I have to separate that at times, you know, confidentiality and so forth. But if I get to interact, like you're saying, you know, you enjoy spending time with us, and I recognize it's because you're spending more time with Chris than just me. No, but it's in that context of being able to say, yeah, this can just be an open forum of conversation, and we don't have any secrets that we have to keep. Because that was a difficult part of my transition, is, you know, everything we shared before, people we'd listened to before, you know, we typically did that as a couple. Now I'm listening to people on a separate, and, you know, it's not that we can't do that, but at the same time, it was an awkward thing to be able to say, okay, yeah, I have all these people that I'm listening to, and I can't share any of that with you.
I remember her talking about it in our podcast with the wives too.
Yes.
How that was so difficult.
Yes.
Interesting transition.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah.
And then in addition, I would also say, and it's probably somewhat Chris too, but the kids. Because I think, you know, we can, it's one thing to listen to someone as a peer, kind of in a same level interaction.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I will say, you know, even my experience with intensive in-home, you know, I like kids. And I enjoy, you know, even to this day, you know, I mean, you know, say teenagers, say adolescent to some people, and it's like, ooh, they get the heebie-jeebies type thing, you know. But that's not my experience. It's just, you know, because I think they're doing everything just the way they're designed to do it, you know. And yes, you know, if you need to have someone convey respect to you in order for you to listen to them, that's your issue. That's not their issue. You follow me?
That's good, yeah.
because I think, you know, and I think they're...
I feel like that could be the synopsis right there.
But I do, well, and that's where it's I was good. Coming back to. I think that comes back to pride, you know, yeah. because you have to be able to listen to me. And I got the solution. You're just immature and you don't know. And it's like, no, you haven't listened long enough. And the reality of it is there's not relationship enough there yet for you to go to that reaction. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to say, okay, I check my identity at the door and I will let's be authentic and let's really talk about what's going on. And if you don't know what's going on, that's still okay too. Mm-hmm. So talk with me about, you know, the questions you have. What are your thoughts on that? What happened? Because that's what I want to know. Because I'm happy to talk it through. And as you talk it through, you hear it come off your lips. You're able to process that in a way that you can't in your own mind. I mean, that's where, you know, the from my perspective, it's not, this is to your fixing, it's not nearly so much what I have to offer as a solution as much as it is you hearing yourself say it audibly in such a way that says, oh, that's what I'm thinking? I'm not sure I agree with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's worth re-saying. I'll re-say it and you can re-say it.
Go right ahead. What did you hear?
What I heard is how important it is. I think one of the most important parts of listening is giving the opportunity for someone to say what they're thinking.
Sure.
And allow them to hear what they're thinking.
Yes.
And to process it through. And how much they can gain simply by saying what they're thinking. And, I mean, there's been so many times where I've said what I think. Thought to you or to anyone and just said, but I don't really agree with what I think.
Yeah.
You know,
that's insight. Because it's that part where I've had this rumination, if you will, in the back of my mind that this is the way it is. But then when I communicate that out loud, I put those sound waves out there, something about that says, I'm not sure I agree with that. And that may need to change. I may need to challenge that thought. Mm. And I think that's the power. And I think that's where we bring this topic up. That's the power of listening.
Yes.
Because if I'm just trying to fix someone.
Mm. Yeah. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the way Celebrate Recovery does groups. Because it's so cool. Essentially, we have guidelines that we read at the beginning of every open share group, which is just kind of our support kind of opportunities on Friday nights. And then our step study groups, which are the, you know, the 12 steps going through the process. And one of those, there's a couple tenets, but one is that only one person talks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't like a conversational aspect to it. And I think sometimes people get like, that takes them a little off